from the creators of The Shape. CCC Entertainment Group presents a nostalgic fan film series. Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Fred Krueger, and many other iconic horror icons from the 80s and 90s converge in a universe we've all been waiting for. The Horrorverse, Season 1. Available now on YouTube. Awaken the darkness.
Welcome to Around the Reel with your hosts Aaron Carlson, Charles Lawson, and Samantha Hamm. Ah, shit. Here we go again.
Oh, yeah. Doing the damn thing.
All right, I was conducting. Sorry.
It's good. It's good.
Wow. Look at the crew.
How are we doing? These beautiful. Are my guys. All my guys in one spot.
Hello, everybody.
Beautiful people.
Sam, I usually just put it on you, though. I have everybody else in the background. You're the one I see.
Aww.
That's
so sweet.
That is sweet.
Everybody else is just little squares.
Whatever, dude.
You're going to have to show her how to do that next time she has Raymond Power on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no shit.
Definitely. Well, I think everybody wants to see Raven, right? I mean, that's
it. Doesn't everybody? Yeah.
I don't want to see Raven.
Yes,
anymore.
That's why he's in front of the camera.
Yeah, I think I've had enough of Raymond Power.
You can never have enough Raymond Power.
I agree with you, Steve, and I think Aaron's just jealous.
Oh my God, here we go.
I'm jealous. Gorgeous. What are you going to do?
Not how I thought the show would start, man. Whatever.
No, okay. You want to know how this show's going to start, you guys?
Okay, go. What?
Let me just tell you about something. This has been the best day ever. You want to know why?
Yes.
It's a show. We should probably explain.
You woke up and saw me next to you.
Oh, well, no.
Okay.
And this time he wasn't naked.
No, he's always naked.
I pretty much.
Anyway.
I'm sleep. I have to sleep. I can't sleep with drawers on
but
anymore.
I sleep like in like a parka.
I just want to know, who has seen that picture of Aaron and Sam like of 10 years ago?
Oh,
I don't know what it is.
Is
they
the
have
one?
Not changed. They have not changed. They have the same face.
You're so nice.
What is the deal here? You guys doing voodoo or something?
It's some crazy shit, yeah. I think it's, like I said, when I texted you that, I was like, I think we, when I'm cooking, I'm using kids' blood and eating children.
Oh, yeah, we eat kids.
That's exactly the same, man.
Yeah, you know, it's all Moloch stuff.
I look at a picture of me and my wife 10 years ago. I'm like, what happened? You look
That's
great.
How
I tell
her,
you look great. I don't know. What are these things under my eyes?
Trust us. We've got them.
We have.
Got them. They're there.
Yes.
Trust me. I get it. I don't know if this is going to zoom in. Oh, no. It's going to be too
far. Right. No, we can't. Oh, yes. We can try to.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah,
there it is. Look at that.
What's that on your head?
Yes, okay.
That'd be hair, motherfucker.
Oh, so we were talking about like how haughty you were.
Oh my God, dude.
Remember when you guys came to the 4th of July at my Aunt Cindy's house?
Yeah. Back in the day.
Okay, so we were talking about how good looking you were then.
Yeah.
You were really...
Yeah, you were a good looking guy.
I mean, not that you're not good looking now.
You
but
were.
You were
Thanks,
really,
motherfuckers.
No, just like you were really, really a hottie.
Yeah, it happens.
Hottie.
It happens, Charles. We all will lose. We have a window of time.
Yeah.
Where we look like a badass, and then it kind of just fades away. And it's,
I don't know if
fine.
You guys see it yet, but I'm. It's
got that receding.
Like, this
it's,
time,
mm-hmm.
I don't see
and
it.
And the barber goes, "You're fine. You can still comb over. You can still comb over." So now I'm combing over, and I guess I'm at that stage now where that's a thing. I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently it's a thing.
It's a fucking thing.
Comb over, yeah.
So
everyone does.
It's like the Titanic.
Eventually, you'll just give up and just shave it.
The stages of life.
My Captain Steubing hasn't completely connected yet, so I've got the mower patch back here still. This is a little fuzzy, and then this is just all gone.
But when was enough enough, though? That's the question I want.
I can tell
when
you.
When was the stage where it's like, you know what, it's time to let it go? Like, when does that happen?
I can tell
when
you.
When your wife tells you that is enough, you need to let it
no,
go.
No, I will eat
the
to
wife
you.
Is the dessert.
That is exactly
yeah, she will be.
When I did it.
Okay. Sam, really? Sam didn't do that with me. You always wanted me to shave my fucking head because you like
what?
Ball heads. You like to grab them and like
okay, well,
do this on.
Well, I like to rub. I mean, they're good.
She
luck.
Likes to palm them.
They're good luck if you. Rub
yeah,
them.
She loves that shit. So. I was anti bald head stuff. But then yeah. it started to get a little like weak up here. Like there was this, there's no,
in the back area.
No, right on the top for me.
Just and admit, it just started thin. Bozo the Clown.
It was coming. Thin. So whenever we were making movies and I put my head down, you know, I had a gun and I was shooting and I'd see it on screen. And I'm like, there's a little that's light. Not there's not enough hair there anymore. I hate it.
Shit gets real
yeah.
quick.
I shaved it yeah. as soon as that. I can grow some hair if I need to right now, but up here, yeah. There will be a hole. Fuck the hole. It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna
So I didn't shave for a long time, but I can go back to Aaron will appreciate this, old Sam. The Lost Book of Kai Par.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, our movie. Yeah.
I had so much forehead that when Aaron was editing the clouds moving by in the background, they went across my head because I looked like the fucking sky.
Yeah. I did the sky replacement tool and it was a gray day out there and it was really bright. And it took his fucking head off.
That did happen.
So yeah, he had some clouds to report it.
For me, the first time I shaved was my trip down to Palm Desert when I was writing Say Goodbye.
Oh yeah.
And it was the first time I shaved my head. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but other than that, I mean, I had a buzz. Like quarter inch buzz all the time for a long time.
Yeah, you did.
And then I finally said, fuck it.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think everyone should be since. Bald. Everyone should just be bald.
Well, we're pretty much almost there here on CCC. Yeah.
I met my wife with long hair. I had it down to my back.
Wow. So,
badass. Well,
I don't know if that means she liked the long hair, but she says it's her favorite actor is Jason Statham.
Okay.
So okay. I think the bald thing is she's already told me, when you let it go, it'll be fine.
She's waiting. Yeah, she's waiting. She's waiting. What's your wife's favorite, Steve, actor?
You know what? She's an odd one. Like, she likes kind of more... Well, okay, for handsomeness, she will compare me to Jason Statham as well, personally. I think she's high. But, it's, you know, like, it's a model bald man. But, yeah, I just think it's like an evolution thing. I think there was monkeys, and then there's people with hair, and then there's me. So it's okay. Let it go, man. It's okay, Anthony. Welcome to the club.
Welcome, brother.
You know, bald is beautiful, I believe. So that's just my
personal and aerodynamic.
Opinion. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And fucking cold. You shave in the morning, you go outside, it's 40 degrees, you're like, oh. Ooh.
Yeah, that's true. That is
and
true.
Then when you shave, now here's the fun part, Anthony. When you shave first thing in the morning, and you grab a beanie and you put the beanie on.
I was gonna say beanie.
And you talk to people.
Different humans.
Smoke detectors were off in my house. And you talk to people when you're freshly shaved. The beanie slowly comes up off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Oh, does it? It
because
slips
it's so
and slides?
Smooth. Nothing stays down.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, that's why I wrote Bullseye the way I did in the movie because I wanted to wear somebody with hair.
Okay, but I needed hair.
Yeah, and you know what? And the wig is badass. I put
it
that on.
Perfect,
dude. It does.
Really did.
If I could, grow
it's
that.
It's like
fucking,
it was your real hair.
That's what I'm saying.
No, it does.
That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah, I can pull it off. I need that hair. Really well.
You literally can pull it off. Just yank it right off.
Shut up.
Today. You don't have to do shit.
Oh man! All right. Well,
I don't think so. I don't. It's funny to me.
Yeah, she laughs all the
every
time.
Every time, and my grandson's terrified of it.
Yeah, he gets scared.
Terrified.
He gets scared. I put
well, you
on
keep
Bullseye's
throwing head. It at him, right?
No, I put it on my
he
head.
He puts it on his head, and he like cries and freaks out and runs. Oh, and if he
it's
tells
like when I come over and say hi,
if he tells him he's gonna put it on, he runs downstairs.
Yeah, I love it. It's a great tool, Anthony and Steve. It's great
if you because want him to go
if he's
downstairs.
Being if he's being bad and he's not listening, I'll take my hat off and be like. You want me to put it on? You want me to put it on? And he's like, no, please, no, please stop. Please stop. Please stop. Please stop. That's what he says.
Please stop. Oh, I love that stage.
Yeah.
There's, you know the word that they're saying, but it doesn't come out right. I love that.
It's beautiful, dude.
Please stop.
It's slowly starting to fade on my youngest. She's already starting to pronounce it.
Oh, no. She got to have another one.
Mouthy.
Going too fast, man.
Got to have another.
You know, it's great. They start to talk, and it's cute, and then they start to talk back. And you want to fucking beat them?
Yeah, they become teenagers.
But it's still cute. But they are—they do get mouthy.
They do
real
get mouthy. You know what? Yeah. Jace is mouthy. He's
yeah,
boy is
yeah, our,
mouthy.
Our grandson's a little mouth. I mean, I have to watch.
Mouth.
Yeah, I try to watch my mouth around here now too. Because even last night, I was sitting. I was like, we were talking about something. And I was like, hey, fuck that, no way. And he looked
it
at
just
me.
Comes out.
Yeah, and he looked
and
at
my
me.
My wife gets on me, you know, because you know the Chinese are not big on. Bad words.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. When it just comes out sometimes, and you don't even know.
Yeah.
It's, hey, I'm like, oh.
Oh, she catches you
every
time.
I told her, next time don't react. Because when you react, they know.
Yes.
They know. Then they know that's the word. You're pointing it out.
That's exactly right.
No, my grandson's bad. He's like, shut up was his favorite thing to say for the longest. Now he calls Leo a butt-ass dog.
Butt-ass dog.
Butt-ass dog.
I wonder where he got that from.
Probably, I don't know, you?
Probably. No, because I used to say fucking dog.
I mean, whatever.
All right, well.
And you none of you even listened to my day.
Like, oh, yeah, no, yeah. You were going to start the show, sorry.
And then we had to stride him with bald head.
Yeah, I know, we did.
Sam, start the show.
It was a great day, so let's get back to it.
Yeah, let's go.
So everyone that knows me knows that I have a super sensitive nasal passages are super sensitive. Like, I can smell everything so much. Like, I'm like a dog. Bad. It's bad. So I go to Seattle. It smells like shit. I can't stand it. I can't even be there. I just bitch the whole time. It smells like shit. It smells like shit. But today, guys, guess what happened today? Everything smelled good today. Everything. Like, I went to the dentist's office. It smelled good. I went to the store. It smelled good. Everything smelled so good today. And I was like, this is a rare ass day. Because never does everything smell good.
Everything smelled good.
But everything smelled good today.
Before you, Sam.
So it was my day today. Everything smelled so good.
How did you avoid the stink? I mean, how does that happen?
There was no stink today.
Huh. That's weird.
I don't know how, but
do me a favor, drop a big ass deucer down in the bedroom before you go to bed.
Just blow ass right now during it.
He shits in the morning, so
yeah, I'm a morning pooper.
Oh, no, you can control how many times you poop in a day.
Once a day, every morning.
I used to be like that.
No problem. Yeah, I've been doing that. Actually, I shifted it, and here we go. We went from your great day to us now talking about shitting, which is great about Around the Reel. So, when I was in school, had a 2 o'clock shit every day. 2 o'clock.
Because you had to wait till you were out of school.
Because I had to get out of school, and then I'd run
PM,
home.
Right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, run home, and mom was like, oh, it's at that time? Yeah, you got your 2 o'clock shit. And I'd run to the fucking bathroom and take my deucer. That's what I would do every day. And somewhere along the line, it switched. And now it's like that 7:30 deuce or 6:30 deuce, whenever it is. I don't know why.
What a deuce.
It's a deuce.
Are you one of those where you have your morning routine where you drink the coffee and
yes.
that's the igniter?
Yes.
It's a igniter. Perfect. That's the name of the show.
And that's coming from Cuban parents, I had the traditional Cuban coffee hit in the morning.
Okay.
You know, that was just part of the routine. Mom would give, you know, the shot of the Cuban coffee, and that was letting your body know it is time.
Let's go.
I must relieve myself.
And if it didn't come, your glass of water right behind it.
Boom. Then it will do it.
Boom.
And then that'll do it.
Well, I'm a girl, so I don't poop.
Oh. Before I was diagnosed with C. diff, I was in horrible, miserable pain. I wish I would have known about the Cuban coffee with a glass of water back then.
Oh, I mean, that was, I'm telling you, that was the go-to.
That was it.
I mean, then it got to a point where I started getting heart palpitations. Because the Cuban coffee then turned into an addiction, and it then turned into a go-to for everything else.
Yeah.
I get it.
Oh, I'm stressed out.
Yeah, some Cuban coffee, and then it just got to the point where I had to find other remedies.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, everybody, let's talk about Buzzsprout, our podcast host. You know, when we started our show, we wanted a platform to share our voice in this industry and have some fucking fun. With Buzzsprout and their team being passionate about helping you succeed, you're in good hands. You'll get a great-looking podcast website, audio players that you can drop into other websites, detailed analytics to see how people are listening, tools to promote your episodes, and so much more.
Following the link in the show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you. Gets you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for the paid plan and help support our show. So join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great. Join together, people.
Yeah. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Well, anyway, I just
Fun is it though to have you guys? And I don't want to hear about any more of your shit.
No, I was just gonna end it with one more shit comment.
That was Aaron. But we're gonna start.
Yeah.
I was trying to cut him off, guys. Sorry.
No, it's fine. No, someone else started it. It wasn't me. Chuck
did. I started.
Chuck
that's
started
to go
it.
Drop a deucer.
Well, yes.
Really? Oh,
and then you followed up with it, and then I retort.
I wasn't trying to, like, know who started it. I'm just trying to end it.
Yeah. I pay attention to the conversations. That's all I'm saying.
Guys, I guess, don't care about things smelling good. They care about things smelling bad.
Apparently, because it turned into everything smelled good today to we were talking about poop.
Well, I'm very happy, Sam, that you had a good smelling day.
It was the only good smelling day I've ever had in my life.
Wow, that's incredible.
Just so you guys know, it was a great day.
Yeah, and it's horrible going to Seattle with Sam because it's we don't go up there very much, and when we do, it's like really fun. She just bitches the whole time how bad it smells, and I'm like, I don't even smell anything.
It smells so bad, guys.
It smells like urine everywhere.
Always been a thing.
Urine and vomit.
When I was there in 2010, it wasn't. I don't remember it smelling.
It doesn't smell.
Yeah, I've been in Seattle for almost the whole time I've been up here, and yeah, it's always had a
so bad.
It's always had a street smell.
Smell. Yeah, it's so
urine. I like the street smell then.
I do not.
I think it's fucking cool.
You might like the street smell.
Yeah, I think it's badass.
It smells like reality.
Exactly. This is our fucking planet. This is where we're at.
Well, we need to put some perfume on the planet because that
well,
is
I'm not
going to
argue
good.
With that point.
Hi, I'm Sam. I'm going to make a documentary, but I can't make it up here. Can you guys all come down here to the pretty fields and we'll do it down here?
Yeah. Where the flowers are.
Yeah.
A little bit of
did the horse shit not bother you though?
That doesn't really bother me, no.
See, that bothered me.
That doesn't bother me, no.
Wait, now, when you're downwind on the ranch.
I'm country at heart. So.
Yeah, when you smell cow shit and fucking horse shit and everybody
else's
shit.
There's something natural about it.
But Seattle.
As a side job, I used to, you know, pick up horse manure.
Okay.
You can say shit.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
You said fuck, you can say shit.
He can.
But his little babies, his
and his wife is Asian. She don't fuck around. Yeah, she'll karate chop his ass. She's not gonna play.
I've smelled some pretty crazy things.
Mm. Well, I have too.
I've been to some pretty crazy parts of the world.
Aaron was a garbage man, so I would say he takes the cake.
Yeah, I dumped garbage for 6 years.
No kidding.
I'm a refuse
cluster. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Right. Oh, you might take the cake, actually.
Yeah.
I don't normally want to jump on it, but yes, I probably do.
You probably take the cake. Yeah. Even over a garbage man, really?
I've had some good.
What's that?
Even over a garbage man, you think you take the cake on the on
there's
the
odd
smell
smells.
Ever?
There's odd smells in the garbage.
Might,
it's
though.
Ridiculous.
Okay.
I have almost no sense of smell, which is really good, but it's a good thing in my job. But like every once in a while, something will hit me, like a wound or something, and I'll be like, holy fuck.
Ooh, yeah,
you know,
that's bad.
Like it'll be,
that's bad.
It's over.
I couldn't do that job because I'm like a bloodhound.
Yeah. Think about hot garbage cans in the summer with maggots in them, with rotten meat. Think about
now you're talking sexy.
Yeah, that's good, right? And that's a good smell. And that's not the worst one. The worst one that everybody gets is the fucking yard waste.
The yard waste is the worst.
That's
right?
The worst.
It is.
That's the
so
worst,
bad,
especially in summer. It just sits there and sweats
something
and bleeds
about
out funk. Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah. Like, have you ever left your grass in your lawnmower and then like for a long time, and then you go and you grab it out and it's just like
it decomposes like everything else.
Mm.
And
it's
it smells
so
like crap.
I guess because it's living, right, at one time.
Well, I can take the smell of a rotting corpse over the smell of a slaughterhouse with, you know, on farms and stuff where they do the slaughtering and everything on site. So you have the cow manure and the slaughterhouse all in one smell. That kills me. But you put a dead rotting body in front of me and I'm like, ooh, yeah, that's bad.
Have you ever smelled a dead rotting body? I come
from a family of morticians, remember?
Oh, that's right. God, I always forget about that. Yeah. I always forget.
Chuck might have his beat.
That's why he's so fucked up. Here we are.
Hey, I take total truth to that fucking statement.
The shit is accurate.
Yeah.
Literally.
So we all gathered here today to have a discussion about something entirely different than what we're talking about for the first 17 minutes of this show.
Yeah, that's kind of a lot.
We didn't get to babble in the last show, so we're taking it out on YouTube because we all love each other.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
It's that's hilarious. Right.
We're all family here.
But it's a cool concept that we've got to discuss today, I think, a little bit. This thing came up the other night. Sam and I were just chatting, and we started talking about limits. like as an artist, you know, and we all know that we're all limited in one way or another, right? But
mainly monetarily.
Yeah. Sure. But you know, when if you're writing something, Anthony, when you're writing your music, or you know, when we're writing our screenplays and that vision hits you or that feeling hits you, you know, you want to get it out. And then maybe you're not at that point yet to be able to totally capture everything that you
for
want
Anthony,
to express.
Say a whole choir. Or what, you know, involved. Yeah. And you'd have to go that far.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. And I think it goes across the board, right? For all artists, one way or another. I think this
sure.
is
oh,
relatable.
Yeah.
And then you got to figure out how to deal with that. I've seen so many movies. I'll talk from the filmmaking side where, you know, you can tell where a filmmaker's at in their career and they're doing this huge thing. And they're trying hard, and the effects come out really shitty.
Yeah, because they don't
You know, they don't have the actors to pull off this drama or whatever it is. And you're just, it just pulls you out. And we start talking about, does that hurt your art? You know, you being so stubborn about your vision, and you're not at that point yet. Like, if I go to the gym, and I haven't worked out in a long time, I'm not going to go and try to do, you know, 275 pounds on the bench press. I'm going to start small again and work my way up to that point, you know, just to build up that muscle memory, right? And I think as a filmmaker or any kind of artist, I can't help but think that, you know, that's how it should be done. I think you can tell your stories or do whatever art you're doing in a constructive way, and you've got to not let yourself get upset that you can't reach that vision right away. That's kind of where I'm at with this subject matter. And believe me, I've went through that on my own here because I was very stubborn in the beginning. If you watch this movie behind me, The Outrider, I had huge visions for that. None of that came out the way I wanted it. I tried. And you know what? And a lot of it didn't work. And I think it hurts the film now.
Honestly, you know? I mean, but does it? That's the question, I guess, that we're kind of asking is, you know, are you selling yourself short, dumbing your stuff down from what your original vision or your original dream is?
Or are you doing the right thing by staying in your lane and what you know and still tell the best story you can the way you can?
With what you got.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's I'm going to start off your premise of what you're saying by complimenting everybody who's here, because honestly, if we would have had both of these gentlemen doing The Outrider, and don't get me wrong, our score for The Outrider
for
is
sure,
very good, obviously.
No, for sure.
Our score, don't get me wrong. But with Anthony's take on things, when he hears it, but where the fuck did you go? I'm trying to pay you a compliment, Steve. Come the fuck back
here. I'm right here.
He's still there. He's still there. He's still there.
If we would have had Steve.
He can hear you.
He can hear us.
We would have had. Great. Now I'm looking at the ceiling. And
he can hear you. That's all you need to know is he can hear you. So keep going.
Sorry, guys. It's fun watching.
I needed a battery. I am so ready.
You're fine.
You're okay. So if we would have had Steve who made The Outrider, that final scene would have been better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he knows how to do the things that we didn't know how to do.
But that was the thing, so is we didn't know how to do it at the time.
Exactly. But I mean, that's one of the things that we always talk about, is you bring in people, and every time you reach out to somebody, and every time you do something, you meet somebody new. I mean, now we have an FX team we work with. We have Steve who takes care of visual stuff. We have Anthony who diddles inside of all of our minds with all of his beautiful...
I enjoyed the score.
Key work.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I can't bash the Outrider score.
Good,
it was good.
The score was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
But,
the score
is good. Yeah.
The score is good.
Saved the movie.
But with the way that you bring things, the way that you get more involved as a person with each storyline that we're telling than any composer we've ever worked with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No,
that's true.
There you go, Aaron, right there.
Yeah, I got goosebumps.
You get more, you'll sit down for 2 hours and have a conversation with Sam about a documentary, me about Say Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, if he ever writes anything original. I'm kidding. I love you, buddy.
But getting to know the person, getting to know the director. It's so huge.
Director,
it's
you get so big. The backstories of everything. Mm-hmm. When you write your score, it's amazing. And Steve, with everything that you can do visually, and I have no idea if you guys are where I'm looking at you on the screen, but with everything that you can do, help us out with visually. I mean, everything we've done now is so much better. Even the intro for our next documentary for Sam, A Will and a Way, with all the blending that you did of all that opening scene, that's awesome.
Oh, that one shot he did. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Chuck. I love you.
Oh, okay, I'm done patting everybody on the back and stroking everybody under the table.
It's
thank
well
you
deserved.
Guys.
Well
I love you all, and I'm glad that I'm with my head on my ass on my back. So here you go.
If I can, here's my personal opinion on the question. I think it kind of depends on what you're trying to do as an artist, and I don't mean that just literally in what plot you're trying to do or what you're extending. I think it's like what part of it makes you want to make something. I think some people, and I put myself very much in this category, I think some people it's about the excitement of doing something you're not quite sure if you can do.
Like outside of the box.
And
yeah.
And I think like for me, for example, like if it's something I know without a doubt I can comfortably do, I may be happier with the final product, but I will have regret.
You like
because
being challenged.
Maybe I could have. Yeah. And, okay. And I think that's the part that excites me personally as an artist. If it's something I know for a fact I can do and all I have to do is put my hand to it, it's cool. Do it. But it will out on the part that I had to let go. And I think there's always compromise. Always.
That's a very interesting take.
Yeah.
That's definitely a very interesting take, Steve. Like, I didn't even think about that. But yeah, some people do like that challenge.
I have. And that's good, Steve. I like that a lot because that's kind of where I was when I started this. You know, I'll figure it out. I'll figure out a way to do these things. And then, you know, I figured it out and I was super happy with it. But then as time goes on, you realize how you weren't ready for it.
Right.
You know, and that's where I kind of came down.
But now you are.
Yeah, I know I am, but I'm
more
still
so, yeah.
I'm still kind of
the result of it.
Yeah, but
I feel like doubt is the clutter of the mind.
True.
As
soon as you start doubting yourself and any capability of anything, especially if it's something that you want to do, you're already not even on square one because, you know, and I think doubt just comes from our perception of somebody else who's been doing it for years. And then we feel we have to match that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's fair. The error right there is that that person matched their potential and God knows what they had to get through what they had to go through to get there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've always looked at with what I want to do is that I'm not afraid to fail because, and I don't know if it's just the blessing of having gone through a hard childhood or having gone through the dark, like the way I did at such an early age, which I call that a blessing because I feel like true blessing is the things that you're able to get back up from when you're knocked mm-hmm. down. So that's the true blessing. It's not what you have in your life or what you're given. It's the fact that you've been able to get through some of those dark moments in your life. But going back to that it's the doubt, getting through the doubt.
Well, and you're mm-hmm. less fearful. As mm-hmm. someone who's gone through things, exactly. like say yeah. you know, like you're yeah. less fearful to take chances as somebody else who, say, hasn't had, you know, that kind of, hasn't grown up the same way.
Yes. It could be very scary.
Yeah, it definitely. Scary. I mean, it is scary.
You don't want to disappoint.
But
you,
is it,
you feel like,
is it doubt yeah, that you feel, or is it like, are you trying to be realistic? Because from my standpoint, and Aaron and I always argue this because he always says, you know, you're being negative, negative. And I'm like, no, but I'm not. I'm being realistic because I try to be realistic about things.
And
so
it's a spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say. It's not like I'm doubting myself, but I am trying to be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes realistic can look doubtful.
But I will say that Aaron's aspect of you being pessimistic towards your realism is true, because sometimes your realism that you're thinking of is everything that can happen. And you can't live with what can happen, Sam. You have the most successful movie that we've made yet.
And I think it goes back to the clutter of the mind of doubting yourself.
Yeah.
Because, again, it all depends on how strong your belief is in yourself. And how strong your dream is.
Correct.
And your want to test it.
Yeah.
I think that feeling of saying, what I was saying earlier, there is absolutely a limit to it. I think what Sam was saying is really intelligent as far as there is the realism of any situation, and it gets into the how much effort do you want to put in to make it closer to the vision that you might end up. And this is anything, painting, art, anything. It's how much more work do you want to have to put in, and how much time do you want to have to invest to maybe make it closer to a vision that you wanted it to be?
Right.
And how much of a pain in the ass is that?
Right. True. Right. But true. Or if putting in all of that work is still lacking for your final product because it's just not there yet.
You're not there yet.
So are you making yourself or your art look bad because you're trying too hard maybe to get to somewhere that you're just not yet?
And you're not there yet.
It's so hard to say, like, it's so hard because you want to push yourself. So
a good question is to say, why do you feel you're not there?
Right. Well,
I think it comes from outside perspective. Anything that comes from the outside and enters into your mind and is taken at face value is going to corrupt you in some sort of way. Whether it be a bad comment, whether it be a bad review, whether it be if somebody says, I'm not that big of a fan of it, whether it be, you know, you're looking at another movie and then you're comparing it to yours. I think all of that is you're creating limits.
Yeah.
You're creating a limit.
Well, and maybe we should say why this even came up.
Yeah, you're letting the noise get to you.
You're letting the noise come in. And I think that if you're able to take a step back and just tell yourself that you did it, that's square one.
Exactly.
True. Yeah.
I do. You know how many people don't do it? You know how many people go 50% into a movie? God knows I've been a part of a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And then they're just like,
me too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm glad to know that we're the ones that go all the way.
I know, I'm glad to know
all the way. And I have to tell you. You know where
even if we're going
to
come out dirty. Sorry.
You know where your limit should be? Your limit should be the movie that you did prior.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You start at The Outrider, then you go to The Giant Pacific Octopus, then you go to the next one, then you go to the next one. Because I'll be honest with you, I look at the horrorverse and I see The Rider, and I see two different filmmakers.
Yeah.
I see two different filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that should be your limit. Your limit should only be the project you did before.
Yeah.
Okay.
True. Really, that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. And I think Sam, for perspective, I think is where she's going with this, because I was very stubborn on The Outrider. Like I literally was where you were at. I didn't think.
Why are you guys cutting that part?
I wanted to go far. I wanted to make this thing so big.
He wanted to jump from car to car while they're moving and shit, and it was like, dude.
Yeah, I wanted to do all kinds of crazy cool
Aaron
shit.
Aaron grew up in the golden age of film.
I did.
Yeah. It's really unfair.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the scores that I listen to, Bloodsport.
Right,
we're
talking millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what their budget was. Their budget was astronomical, and that's
and they had very talented.
I've always tried
to
reason with Aaron in that way.
Yeah.
We don't have that kind of budget that kind of movie.
And I'm like, fuck it, I'll figure it out. I'll do it myself. That's where I was.
He has billion-dollar dreams.
Yeah.
And
but we don't have billion-dollar monies.
Yeah. And now.
So the point is you took what you could do, and you did the best you could, mm-hmm. and you made your film. I mean, that's one of the things we always tell everybody. No matter what your thought is, no matter what your dream is, make your film.
But the question
is, exactly what you think.
Do we dumb that down?
Yeah.
Do we dumb it down to what we can do and make it the best we can with what we've got?
Do you de-escalate your vision
to
make the best film you can with the story that you have? We're
all here in the same room. Steve's first rewrite for The Hunt.
Yeah.
I'm reading it. I'm like,
gonna bring
how
up
the
about,
fuck are we going to pull this off? We don't have any money.
That's and how I love this
that.
Came up.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I love his stories. You know, he's taken, you know, I write a dumbed down version now of what I know will tell the story because we don't have the fucking money.
With what we got.
You know, my vision is huge, but I dumb it down. Then I give it to Steven. He amps it the fuck up. And I'm like, God damn. God damn.
That's a great thing, though, because you pick the right people. I mean, that's a team, too.
Yeah, exactly.
People just want to make a movie just by themselves. And I think when you start establishing some of these people around you, it makes the process a whole lot easier.
It does, but at the same time, it's also a dilemma sometimes.
It is.
Do we tell Steve to dial back on his dream or his vision? Because he's got great, amazing vision. Well, you know, like his stories are amazing.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and Aaron's stories would be, you know, as elaborate as that. He has learned over time to dial back on himself because he knows what he can do and what he can't, so he's dialed
back. Look, motherfucker, you can't jump over a car.
No, but what I do...
But it's interesting, though, because with Steve coming into the picture, and Steve doesn't know that. You know, he doesn't know that. He just tells his stories.
And it's a beautiful thing,
and it's such a dilemma to know, do you tell Steve to dial back?
Or no,
do
you don't.
Tell him?
We do, actually. Like, we end up going back and forth quite a bit, and, like, it'll often be where I'll go, I mean, like, if I let, and I've made enough before working in with you to know what we could do with a lot of effort. And I think that's where we end up.
Yeah.
Right.
But if I were to really just let the hog loose, just like you would, it'd be ten times bigger.
And see, and then I've got these variables when we're on set. You know, we're not paying anybody. We don't have all this time. I don't want these fuckers to be out here all day. I don't want to be out there all day trying to figure something out.
Yeah.
So you start feeling like, you know, I'm blessed to have them here in the first fucking place. So let's make the best content we can with the people we have as efficiently as we possibly can to tell the story that we're trying to get out. And maybe one day, if we keep working our asses off the way we're doing, we will have that budget and we can pay these people. And then maybe we can start showcasing this stuff that we've been holding back on for fucking so long. You know, that's where I've gotten to, and I just want to, when we make something, I still want to be very proud of it when I see it on screen. I never want to cringe when I see a scene or an effect or anything where I'm like, ugh, I'd rather dumb it the fuck down right now and tell the story the best possible way.
And have it be beautiful.
And still, awesome. And have everybody be super proud of it and go, hey, it didn't hit in certain spots. I'm like, yeah, because we couldn't do certain things, but did you like it? Yeah, it's not
bad. But
it's
a spectrum there.
And I'm okay with it.
There is a spectrum there.
It's interesting, right?
Absolutely.
This is why we started talking about it in the kitchen. We were like, what the fuck?
Yeah, we were like, we need all of our people to be talking about this.
Because I agree with Steve. Yeah. I agree with Anthony. There shouldn't be a limit.
No, there shouldn't.
But sometimes there is, and then you've got variables, and what do you do? Like, what the fuck do you do?
Well, and you meet in the middle. I mean, that's the best we could do. It's like, I mean, we do constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Every single thing we've worked on together, I think we started with one thing and then kind of went, hey, let's dumb this down, or not even dumb this down. Let's try to make this more this way to make it more filmable. And, you know, I think we both kind of have to go, yeah, let's do that, you know?
Yeah.
Could we go further with that? Yeah.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
Well,
let's look at last weekend's shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's look at last weekend's shoot. So last weekend's shoot, we were supposed to be inside of a building and everything else for what we were doing. We didn't have a building available at the time, so we ended up shooting in this very cool old ass cemetery.
Yep.
By the way, I haven't had any creepy feelings since then.
I have not been haunted. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So we're good to go.
Yeah. We made this. We made the spirits happy. Put it that way. They didn't fuck with me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But obviously the scene we shot is a lot different than what's on paper.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it wasn't necessarily that we dumbed it down, but we adapted the shoot to what was available to us at the time.
Well, dumbing it down is a really bad way to put it. That's just my word.
I think that's the wrong choice of words.
Absolutely the wrong choice of words.
Work with what you got. I mean, like if I were to approach what you guys are saying in regards to a score, I always approach every movie like that's the movie that's going to change my life.
I do too.
It doesn't matter how big or small, because I've seen some of the smallest projects I ever work on lead to some of the biggest ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I approach every project with that level of intensity and focus, every single one that comes into my lap. Because I know something is going to come from it.
Right.
So absolutely.
I give it my best.
Yes.
And I think instead of using the word dumbing down, it's I did my best.
Yes. Okay. And you should
always. The fact that you did your best, there's nothing else you could have done. There's nothing else you could have done.
So I have a question for you, Anthony.
I mean, I've been talking to a filmmaker. Well, I won't say his name. But well-known person has done in tons of movies, did a movie, and regrets a lot of the things that happened. But at the end of the day, when he looks back and he starts talking about all the things that went wrong, he says to himself, I got through it. Mm-hmm. And this was the product. So I did my best.
Right.
In the circumstances with all those limits that right. presented themselves and all those things, I did my best. So at the end of the day, you have a film, you did your best. There is nothing else that was asked of you. The universe wants nothing else. God, Jesus, nobody wants anything else other than what you provided as far as your best. Because I promise you, the next thing that comes into play is going to ask the same type of best, but it's going to be different because you learned those things that you needed to learn.
You did.
I'm sure there were things in the Outrider that you're like, I had no clue. That now you're like, I got this in the bag. I know how to do it.
Yeah, you do your reps is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Yeah.
Well, we're all growing and learning, and I think we've grown a ton from the Outrider to now to where we're at now.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
without a doubt.
Yeah, definitely. But at the same time, we always kind of have that dilemma where we kind of wonder, you know, what are our limits and what can we do? Because we dream big, Aaron dreams big. I should say Aaron dreams big. I don't as much. I'm more realistic. Aaron's more big dreamer, but he dreams big. And I always try to kind of dial him down just to keep him in his lane, basically. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean, like, if I can keep him from going, you know, billion-dollar budget on something we don't have $1 billion for, that's where I try to kind of keep him. But you want to do it. I don't want to discourage him in any way, but I always want to keep him in, like, reality. And just being realistic about stuff.
It's a scary thing, but
so
unfortunately.
It is unfortunate.
I read story after story about so-and-so was given 300,000, 400,000, half a million, and then they're able to make something of it.
That's what we try to do.
And it's a scary thing to be given that level of funding for your dream, because usually when you're given that level of funding, it's really hit or miss.
Yeah.
Probably not going to get that again. So I think it's really scary when you're putting your not only yourself but your family in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. You're putting your future in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. It's a scary thing. What we do. There were times where I was like, I'm not gonna say that, you know, the tough upbringing has been easy on me. There were times where I looked at my wife and I questioned them whether I should keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
especially when you have kids and you have to provide and you want the best for your kids and you want the best for your wife and you want, you know, and so I think the limit, you do what you got to do to keep going.
Yes.
Whatever the cost.
Yeah.
And it's all about how strong the dream is.
Yeah.
How strong it is. I don't see myself doing anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always go back to the master class that I took from Hans Zimmer, where he says, I don't know how to do anything else. I can't be a plumber. I can't be a mechanic. I don't want to learn a new trick.
Right.
It's this or nothing else. And that mentality to me was just like, I can't do anything else. And this is what
I'm with you.
Yeah. And I get that.
So if I have to Uber to make it a thing, then I'll Uber to continue to make it a thing until it gets to a point where I don't have to Uber.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if I have to do a part time to make ends meet so that way I can continue to do this, I won't have to have the part time.
So
there'll come a time. God will honor that sacrifice.
Right.
It's what you're put on here to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think a lot of that plays into the stuff that you do for free in this, especially in this, you know, film industry, because a lot of things you do for free. You give your time, you give, you know, whether you're constantly, you know, you do. But you're investing in something you believe in. So at the end of the day, you're hoping, you know, you're believing in something that you hope becomes something. And so, like us at CCC Entertainment Group, when we built what we built, we have been trying to build that with everyone, with like our team, you know, and we're building it together. And a lot of our team has given us endless time and endless effort towards, you know, for free, for nothing.
Yeah.
But we don't look at it that way. We don't look like it's for nothing, but we're trying to build something that we can bring everyone into the final.
Yeah. I feel like fucking Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber. I'm like, here's an IOU. Hold that one.
Right.
Keep that
Just
one.
Hang on to
That's
that.
A big one.
You hang on to that.
Hang on.
But why do they keep grabbing them from you? Is the real,
like, That's the question.
When you have people who are willing to do that, I think there's a reason they keep doing it.
It's incredible, yes, you know, though, that they do.
It is.
You guys
it absolutely
have a level
is,
of
I mean,
enthusiasm. Sam and Aaron have a Lichok. You guys have a level of enthusiasm to you that's rare. And I think that's why people gravitate towards you, is because the love is there for what you're doing. And the commitment is there. And enthusiasm is a big thing in this industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it helps. You guys, it shines off of you guys.
Well, I mean, here's a great example. I took a gigantic hiatus. We all know this.
We actually have a podcast to do about this. But
yes, we do.
I took a gigantic hiatus, and Steve, he's like, you know, Steve's like, when I started coming back more, coming back into my own mind and doing what I'm doing, you know, all that stuff. Steve's like, you know what? I filled your chair as best I can, but here it's for you. And I'm like, no, man, this is a giant table. Your chair is right
here.
You're right here. You deserve to be here. And everybody,
the Knights of the Round Table,
right?
Yeah, and as stupid as it sounds, and as funny as it is to say, it's 100% true.
Yeah. It is.
Because everything that we do, okay, right now, hands down, wherever Sam is on the screen for wherever shit is at, she is the highest producing filmmaker of the group.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, we have 270 some odd thousand views of The Shape. Yay! Thank you, YouTube. Woo! But YouTube's as far as great. Income coming in, she is the highest producing. I'm doing this because she's over there. She can be over
we
there.
We get that, Chuck.
There,
continue.
She is the highest producing person
about
that we have.
Sam.
Yes, she is the highest producing person that we have.
Yeah.
Doing things for us. So when she has doubt, Sam, not only are you the highest producing person for us, you are one of the best documentarians in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay, yeah. You're amazing.
Because of the success we're having on Tubi TV.
By fucking far. Yeah,
wow.
You know, and it's that's not bullshit to me. That, we've seen these movies.
Nope.
We've watched these movies. We've seen where the levels
are. I think a will in a way is a result of the Giant Pacific.
It fucking is.
It is, absolutely.
It's her Empire Strikes Back, bro.
Yeah,
it's huge.
And I hope there's more to come from it.
It will be,
to be honest.
And it will be. And that's the beauty of this, is that people. Out of the 20,000 that are going to talk SHIT, there's going to be that group that say, wow, you know, this is legit what this person is doing. Mm-hmm. Okay, look at what they've been able to do.
And what did they do it with?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how about we put in a little bit in?
Yeah.
What happened?
I didn't get very much hate on the Giant Pacific Octopus, and I guess that's why I'm continuing, because I'm not good with
you didn't
hate.
Feel it. You didn't feel
I'm
hate.
Not good with hate.
Didn't get very much hate. Honey, you haven't gotten any hate on
you
that.
Zero.
I got zero hate
even
on it. I got zero
haters
hate.
Haters couldn't talk shit.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But it made me want to continue. And so that's why I'm doing a will in a way now, because I hope to kind of carry that on. I'm not well. I don't do well with hate. So if something gets really hated on, imagine, I'm going to take a Chuck hiatus.
Don't worry.
There's beautiful symbolism, though. Because you guys went from the ocean to land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
beautiful
symbolism.
And we went from animals to a family, a human family.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It is amazing. And that's where I think her path needs to lead. There's so many things that I know Sam has that she wants to dive into as far as this planet.
I would argue that documentary is harder than a film is.
I don't know about that.
Because
documentaries
tell
themselves.
I argue that. And the reason I argue that is because you're telling something that's truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to make something up.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? And I think now, more than everything, people are starting to criticize documentary because of the fact that it's not being told truthfully.
Right.
I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
I know what you're talking about.
The documentary on Netflix that's being really scrutinized right now.
Yep.
And it's because maybe they didn't get all the facts correct.
Right. And that's
and
what
you
that's
don't necessarily
one thing.
Call it a documentary.
Yeah.
Right.
You've got to check your facts. So, and you have to. You have to make sure what you're saying is...
It's not an easy genre.
No, it's not. It's not in that way. You're right. And I do a lot of research, like a ton, an absolute, like days and days and weeks of research just to make sure that my facts are correct, because I don't want to put false information out there. And I did that with the giant Pacific octopus, and I was so relieved when I didn't get shit and backlash on it, because it was hard. I mean, to make sure that you have all your facts correct and not putting false information out there. And I even got mad at Aaron one time because he put a
trailer out.
He put a trailer out and it was not correct. And the way he put it,
it was what she said, but it was out of context.
It was out of context.
I love Aaron.
It was out of context.
Aaron's like me. He goes, I'm going to get it out there.
And I liked it. I approved it and it went out there. And the person who said it came back and was like, and super nice person. Like, she wasn't even critical about it. She was just like, the way that you put that, like, you know, like, that wasn't what I said. And like, people are getting on my case about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, cause she's just, you know, she works for,
she knows her shit.
Yeah. And
she was, I mean, you were dealing with oceanographers and fucking divers for fucking 40 years and like scientists,
people that should know their
shit when it comes to the ocean water. So it was a very delicate, and here are my black ass is just like, oh, that sounds this cool sounds on the cool. fucking trailer. Let's just do it.
Yeah,
I did it.
That was the filmmaker in it.
Yeah. And it came back. You know, it came back. And I really had to, and you know, I had to talk to Aaron about it and kind of reason with him about that, because I was like, that's the, you know, the way that you put,
right.
Absolutely. And we learned a lesson from it. It was like, you got to be careful with how you put people's words. And there was one person in the giant Pacific octopus that was actually didn't want to do it because of the fact that he had done something else. And they had misquoted him. Yeah, not only misquoted him, but they also didn't credit him for anything that he, any information that he gave and anything that he did. So it was leery. All, it was all bad. And he didn't want to do it with us. And I had chased him forever too.
Yeah.
But, so it was, you know, that was bad on us. And then putting out that trailer and trying to get him and just finally getting him and then having a trailer come out with false information, you know, it was like, it was heavy for me. So you gotta be careful. Yeah, you have to. I do a lot of fact checking and a lot of making sure that I have my information correct, because in a documentary, that is the most key thing.
Fuck, I can't remember what it was now in the trailer.
I remember who it was.
I knew too, but I can't remember what she
said. Yeah, but I think it was something talking about the.
She said something about the octopus being on the red list.
Yeah.
But the octopus isn't on the red list.
Something like that.
But she was talking about...
It was part of another part of the conversation, but you grabbed one part.
Yeah, and she said
the octopus... I thought it was Kelly. I thought it was Kelly's part. Are you sure?
It was not Kelly. It was not Kelly. It was in Gig Harbor when we were there, and she said that the octopus are not... She made a comment about how they are not... they are not, like, studied on that list.
Oh yeah.
Okay, put that in there. So it made it look like they're not studied, basically. The way you put it.
Well, she fucking said it. I didn't say it.
No, but she. But if you would have put the whole thing in there, would have said
it was a good goddamn line.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Let's grab the audience with some.
But that's the thing. That's the thing when you're doing a documentary about something you don't know about.
I don't know shit.
And you know, I didn't know. I was learning along the way.
Yeah.
So I didn't know either. So when I said, "Oh yeah, that's great trailer, put it out," and then when it came back like that, I was shocked. I was like, "What?"
Yeah.
Well,
it wrong. But see, neither one of us knew hundreds of thousands of people were going to watch your documentary.
Oh, we had no idea. We had no clue.
So that's
well, that's another part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's.
But you live, you learn.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Documentaries are hard in that way.
But
the imagination can go anywhere, and there's no one going to come back at you with the imagination. There's no one going to say, "Oh, that's wrong," because
I don't know. We're making fan films.
fan films are a whole other ballgame.
Yeah. Unless, of course. You know, unless, of course, your imagination can't fulfill what it's supposed to be. And that's the whole point of this conversation. It's like, we all have imagination. Yeah. We all have this gift. All have this talent. This is our crew right here. Right here. You know, us, we're the ones that do all this behind-the-scenes stuff. This group right here. And when we go out and we've got all these other people that believe in us, I feel so adamantly, like, fucking... I gotta do it right. I gotta do it right for them. I could really give a shit what anybody else thinks outside of that watches it. I really don't care. I want them to watch it. So I think about that thing, you know, because I want them, especially for fan films, you know, we've got a niche audience that we're trying to appease. But at the same time, when it comes down to it, I only give a fuck about everybody who went out there in the fucking rain and the goddamn cold that filmed with us about something we put on a piece of paper, and they trusted mm-hmm. us with their fucking time away from their goddamn family.
Yeah. So I make it for them. Watch it?
Yeah, and I don't want to. I don't want to do something shitty on screen that makes them cringe, or their fucking friends or family or anybody else that they know goes.
I'll ask you a really direct question,
please.
Are you, because you're the editor? Yes. Are you watching anything that gives you that feeling?
On our stuff?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Well, then I think we're doing fine.
Yes,
it's just
we
a
are.
Pain in the ass.
Thank you.
No, we are doing fine. No, I don't feel like that. Yeah. The performances we get from our actors are amazing. And I know that these guys haven't got the recognition that they needed, but that was the whole point of why we're doing this. You know, yeah, we want to have fun and make some movies. We knew that fan films aren't going to make us any money. I mean, that was, you know, I'm sacrificing 2 years of my life to make this shit for fucking YouTube.
We're competing against John Carpenter, for heaven's sake.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and everybody else out there.
Again, it all goes back to, I mean,
big ass budget.
What your limits are.
Big ass budget.
Yeah. But, you know,
you're competing with some legends here.
Yeah, you've got legends that recreated these wonderful characters in this myth, and we're trying to enhance that to appease fans of those people. They're going to be very picky, right? They are.
Some of them will.
I think that's why there's such a big following, too, is because these guys are not making these stories anymore.
Yeah.
No,
it's a big undertaking.
And there's like you, huge. Like us, that are keeping this trend going.
Keep it alive, you know?
It'll get to a point. I think it'll get to a point. We might not see it this year, but in the coming years, it'll get to a point where all this content that we're putting out there, it's going to start getting views and views and views. And apparently, and eventually, you know, from my mouth to God's ears, there'll be one person that has that power to say, this is actually really
decent.
Good.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right? Yeah.
And that person might have a big pocket and say, you know what? I'm going to come to these guys for, you know, this team for some bigger things.
And that's the thing I wanted for all of us, you know, our group right here on this podcast,
and
then everybody
else.
And
that's what we need to be calling out every day.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that, I think there's a, people forget that it's not just the time that you put in. It's not just the networking hours. It's not just the time away from the families, away from the holidays, away from the, it's not just that. It's the internal dialogue that you tell yourself that resonates outward.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
If you continue to doubt yourself, even if it's just a little doubt can become infected.
Absolutely.
And it can affect others.
Yep.
You got to internally tell yourself, I'm making a difference. Yes, I am going to get that opportunity. Yes, the door is going to open.
Yep.
Yes, I am going to walk through it. And yes, I am knowledgeable enough and I do know enough to get the job done. If you don't tell yourself that on a constant basis, then of course the doubt's going to corrupt your mind and you won't do it.
Correct.
And you won't get the job done. And then you know, the thing that you put out won't be good enough because you don't even believe.
Right.
You have to commit to telling yourself that it is, that you are good enough.
That's right.
As a guy who lives in constant state of doubt, like my entire life is filled with doubt.
I'm right with you.
And it's funny because I think there's some people who will constantly. I love, like Aaron typically is like this, and Anthony, it sounds like it's the same way. Where you can kind of say like, no, I'm just not gonna have it. And that is great. And that is great energy. But at the same time, if you end up having the doubt, you go, no.
Yeah.
Over it anyway.
Yeah.
That is just as good. I would say the last 10 years of my life and all of my time in film, because you care. Because you care. That's where the doubt comes from. And it's that you don't want to make something. And I've made things that had budgets and they were not good. And all you end up having to do is say, I'm going to do better than that.
Yeah.
And I think that you in everything, and I believe I've seen everything you've made just about, at least since The Outrider.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant improvement.
Yeah.
And that is the best thing you could have.
Yeah.
If we had dollars for our heart, and where we're at and our passion, we would be fucking billionaires.
Yeah, we like, would.
It's all there.
Okay,
it's all
let's
there.
Dial it back. Millionaires, maybe.
No, Carl. Billionaires.
But I mean, the whole aspect of everything that we do too that people forget about is like, you know, when we put out a film, even though we have a micro budget, the people watching the film and seeing the quality of the edit, the quality of the filmmaking, and the quality of the score, the quality of the effects and everything else, that raises the value instantly. So even though if we shoot something with $1,000 budget, we're looking at $100,000 film value from what we have been able to put into it.
But or more.
Acting, yeah, or more.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things that, yeah. You know,
I've seen these films.
It's not necessarily going to come to light, like, though.
What do you mean you didn't have a budget?
Yeah, I've seen these films.
I'm watching your film, and it's like, what, would you have like $100,000? No. I wish.
Yeah, no.
$1,000.
Well, and I'd love to pay some people.
Yeah, I've seen the movies, man. I know they're crowdfunders. Yeah. I've seen what they've made.
Yeah.
And then I watched the movie, and I'm like, where the fuck did the money go? I don't understand.
That's a whole nother ball.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It's happening really a lot. It's been happening a lot more.
It is.
A lot more.
All the money is just going into the things that it doesn't need to be going into.
Exactly.
Or literally where.
Yeah, or somewhere else. I get it. You know, let's get a named person in our movie so that we can, you know, boost
it. Showing.
Well, how much are you paying that main person? Like, what the fuck is going on?
You know what? You taint your name.
Yeah, I do agree.
This is not independent film. It's not, I mean, not a, if we were to put up everybody that's working in independent film and with the population of the world, it's not a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
So, and especially if you're in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Especially. Yep.
So when you do a funding campaign like that, and then you don't finish the movie, there's a limit in time that is real. Mm-hmm. That it gets to a point where if you don't start showing people where this money is going, and it's going into the realm of what you say it was supposed to go into, you are now tainting your name.
Exactly.
And one thing, that doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't.
It does not.
And it's people's money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is.
You are blacklisted, really.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and more and more, you're right, and more as time goes on, you see a lot of that. You see a lot of shitty stuff coming out with huge budgets. And you're like, where did that go? That's why we're trying to do on nothing, on literally micro, little, slim, none budgets, trying to show people that invest their money.
Possible. What's possible?
What's possible?
Well, and you guys have probably heard this before, but there's the old adage of, you know, you can do cheap, fast, or good. You got to pick two.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when it's very easy to say, well, I have no money, and that's why something is not good, or I had all of this money, and that's why it should be good. But it really just comes down to the overall effort. I mean, it's not as simple as that. It's often the amount of effort and the amount of time and very likely small amounts of money that are a big deal to the people that are actually putting them in, you know. And it's just, it's all effort. At the end of the day, it's all effort of one type or another. And, you know, your enthusiasm was one of the reasons why I started to listen to the show, let alone start to want to work with you. And I really, once we get this, you know, I don't like using fan film, unauthorized sequel. done.
That sounds so much better. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Once we have this done, you know, my genuine hope is between Say Goodbye and there's a couple of other projects we're talking about. My hope is, you know, and my belief, and I hate saying that as an atheist, but my belief is that we will do it.
Yeah.
And it will be a pain in the ass. And it will be hard, and it will be long, but we'll do it. And it will be better than what we're making right now.
Absolutely, we will.
And the thing is, like Aaron and I we watch a lot of projects, and we think to ourselves, they have this much budget. Like what? And Aaron and I will sit there and talk about what could we do with that kind of budget.
Right,
but it's educational, right?
It is educational, but I mean, it's all about just letting people know that you can do more with less. if you try. And if you put, if you put, and you have the crew, and you have the, you know, like we are a family, and with, you know, with very little, we can do a lot. Us, right here on this podcast, we can do a lot with just us.
Yeah, Anthony, honestly, so, brother, when we go out to film, it's me and Chuck and Steve, if that. I did a shoot with Sam and I. Not too long ago.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know the difference. I mean, I got the camera in my hand. Sam's holding audio. Or vice versa. I mean, literally, that's all it is. So, you know, I get the footage. I go home. I do everything I can do to make it fucking shine. And then we move on. Well, and it's, and I mean, that's how easy it is. People, that's how easy it is.
It's not easy.
Hone your craft, though.
Aaron can do a lot.
They're overthinking the fact that they can't do these things. And they can.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, we think about how many. Okay, so Aaron in himself can do so many different jobs and so many different things. I mean, he can film, he can do sound, he can do everything. Like, he can edit, he can do this, he can do that. He made his movies on his own. So he's learned every single piece of it.
Except music, of course.
Kind of down to music.
Thank you, Anthony.
You've learned to put music in it somehow.
I found stock. Stock music, great, let's go.
You know?
I'll find something.
Yes, Anthony, we need you. Yes, we are not discrediting your work at all. But Aaron can do literally so many jobs that it's almost not even fair to say what we can do based on what someone else can do. It's not even really fair because Aaron can do the job of, say, six people. And that's paying six people to do something that Aaron can do himself, and he will do for nothing because that's his love.
Because
and that's
it's
his
fun.
Craft.
Yeah, I love doing it.
So it's not really, you know, fair for us necessarily to say that we can do so much with so little because of that reason. But at the same time, it is proof that you can.
Yeah, but look at all these guys in this group. I mean, all of us have done that. I mean, Anthony was picking up fucking music shit when he was a kid. Steve, I don't even know how long you've been playing around with fucking computer programs and software to learn the things you've done. You've been on sets that we've never been on. You know, you were working on a fucking studio stuff. I have no idea. Like, you know, and that's the thing about Steve that got me right away when we did the podcast with him back in the day. I'm like, here's a guy that's done stuff that we've never even been around. We have no idea. How come he's not doing this? And then I saw your stuff for your Universal Opera. And I'm like, why aren't you finishing that? What are you doing, man? And you were like, well, you know, I got tainted. And I'm like, well,
it's true.
Fuck.
It's absolutely true.
Well, I'm like, that's some bullshit. And
hang out with us. Let's untaint you.
Yeah. and that's what we're doing. But, you know, then he did a little animation for GPO. And I'm like, I'm looking at it like, how the fuck did he do that with the fucking tentacles? I've been in After Effects. I don't know how to do that at all. And I knew. Well, I just knew. Like, you had something to give. That's why I'm like, bruh, come on.
that is exactly why you're able to do what we do. That is, I mean, genuinely, that what you just said right now is the feeling that you bring to everybody. And I'm not just trying. I'm not just trying to blow you, Aaron. But
I mean, you can come over and save me a day.
If you want. What I mean to say, though, is that
it won't take very long.
But when we were talking about all of the energy, and I understand the feeling where you're doing the IOU thing, you feel bad because you're not paying people.
Yeah.
But they will. I mean, the thing is, we're all, and I mean everybody that we've worked with, they all have the same thing we do, which is they would fail at quitting if they decided to just go, I'm just going to work at like what I do. And you're just like, just going to wipe butts, you know, or whatever. But you would just be doing that until you got driven nuts by it. And then you'd be like, I need to act in something. I need to draw something. And that's why they do it. That's why I do it. That's why you do it. It's why all of us do it. And the thing is, when you join enough of those people together, even if you don't have any money, they can feel part of something that took
satisfies that need.
Guts. Yeah. And it's passion. The passion for our craft is what keeps us, I think, all together. And Chuck knows, especially personally, this because he quit and he came right back.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows the passion is what keeps you connected with everyone else that is the same amount passionate about your
shit. And I would just also to say that I'm so happy Chuck is back.
Yes, yeah, we all are.
I've only told him like 15 times.
Well, we knew, Aaron and I kind of knew you'd be back, but that's a different story for another podcast.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one of these days. We're going to talk about it soon.
But yeah.
Yeah, because I got shit to say about that, by the way. I love you, Chuck.
But Aaron, I already told you. You were right.
I know. It's not about being right. There's still one thing. There's this one thing that still like is bothers me.
Okay, well, we'll save that. We're gonna have another podcast with Chuck about that. Yeah. All of that. Yeah.
It's not bad.
We can dive right the fuck in. Let's just take this to the second hour.
Can we just call this next week's podcast?
I mean, we could. We could just split it up and just.
Yeah, part one and part two.
Part one and part two.
Yeah, I don't know, guys. I know I'm very proud of what we're doing. I've never been more proud in this, and I've never felt more satisfied with the final products that we've been putting out. I don't care if they're the little shorts or whatever. We bang those out. I just want to see if we can do it. Let's do one short a month. Let's see if we can do it. Because some people take 2 fucking years to do a short film or longer. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Or never put it out.
Yeah, it's like,
the run that we've had. Making these shorts is pretty incredible.
It's incredible. Even with you, Anthony.
I was looking back and I was putting together the suites for the score, and I was just like, man, this is, how did we knock all those out?
We knocked it the fuck out.
Yeah. And quick, too.
Yeah, and quick. I'd send Anthony the fucking locked version, and in a couple days, I got music. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's that quick.
I've been waiting.
And then he's going, okay, I got to go work on someone else's stuff. I got to go, okay, bye. And I went talk to him for a few weeks, and the next thing I know, he's coming back.
Let me go pay bills.
You know what I mean? It was amazing. I have something to confess to everyone
about me personally and my getting Aaron's back. Aaron's not always the nicest person. Oh. He's not been always the nicest person to me. Aaron's dream is been easy for me to get his back about because he's so passionate, you know, and I sometimes sacrifice for that dream because I believe so much in that dream. And all I can say is that it's that belief that has kept me with Aaron all these years and put up with all these things. And, you know, he's put up with me too, so I can't say it's just him. But, you know, he hasn't always been the nicest, and neither have I. But we have stayed together because of that passion and that fire to create. I think we both have enough fire to create to make it matter and make it last, and that's what's kept us together, and that's what's kept us as a group together, I think, is that passion and that fire. And even though we're not, you know, adding up to say Hollywood shit yet, we're getting there. We're gonna get there. We're gonna make it, and I fully believe in that. And I'm not the best at being positive all the time. I sometimes am, like I said, I'm a realist. So a lot of times I try to be realistic about things, but Aaron has shown me belief and believing in something, and just that's what's kept me, you know, hanging on all this time with podcasts and movies and everything, because Aaron's dream is believable and he is believable, and his passion is 100%. He's authentic as fuck about his passion. And he believes in what his dreams are and what his visions are, and it pulls you in. And I know, Chuck, you can kind of identify with that. I mean, like, it is. So that's what hangs us on all, and that's what keeps us all together, is that passion and that, like, something is there. Something is definitely there, and there's gifts with all of us. And if we put all of our gifts together, it's going to be incredible. So that's just my piece.
I've never appeared up on the show.
And that's a wrap.
That's it. There's nothing else to say. Thank you for joining us on Around the Reel.
I was actually tearing up a little myself. Yeah. That's a rare thing.
Thank you, Sam.
It is a rare
thing. Upper half is believes in you.
Yes.
When you sometimes don't believe in yourself, that is rare. Yeah. That is rare. And it can really get you going for a long time, you know, because I know there's times, just because I look at my wife, she goes, you got this, you got this. And she says it in the most simplest way. And for a man, that is so crucial.
It's enough.
Yes. For your wife to tell you that, yeah. Because it means that, you know what, I do got this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get this now for you.
Yeah.
Because you said
that. Because you said that.
Because you said that.
That's exactly.
So now, right. Now it's like you want to conquer the world, and that is so rare. It's so rare. You don't know how important that. I know he was tearing up because I was tearing up just hearing you say that. Because that's a beautiful thing, you know.
Yeah. So yeah. all the faults aside, it's the passion that I stick to, and it's the love of what he's doing and the belief in it that it draws me, and I can't break from that. I just am solid. Like, I support it 100% because it's there. His dream is bigger than my dream, so you know, here I am.
It's really hard to describe. Like how I feel on a day-to-day basis with what we're trying to accomplish. I don't know how to describe it because I don't want it to come across like, you know, don't struggle with it. There is a struggle. You know, I hate going to my day job, but not as much as I used to because I don't mind the place. But at the same time, it's the time, right? It's the time because I can't stop thinking about this stuff. But then I feel bad because when I get home and I have that time, I hear you guys over here watching movies and kids playing and shit. And I'm up here fucking what? In a place where it's not even fucking real.
Trying to make dreams happen.
Yeah. You know, and I have no way to guarantee you it ever will.
No, and I know that.
I don't. I know there's that. And everybody knows that. We all know that. We all you know that. That's a given, right?
It's a crapshoot. It is.
So to have any kind of enthusiasm about something that isn't a guarantee is, I don't know how to describe that.
But Aaron, you have so many people following you because you do believe in it so much.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, right?
I don't know.
Hey,
I'm in the same
the
boat.
The biggest mystery
personally.
In the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess that's what
I think
it is,
it's one of those. Yeah. I personally think, Aaron, and being a dad, I'm like, it's the only thing that would ever make me give up movie making. In fact, it kind of was the first time where I was like, if I keep doing this, I'm going to end up blowing my head off or leaving my wife, and neither of those is very productive.
No.
When you struggle through it and you can say, okay, they may be outside. My wife is the most important thing in my life. And, you know, my son's right there with her. I'd just like to be noted. But if you didn't have what you do, you'd go insane.
Exactly.
You really, you know, you're like, okay, I have to do the same thing. I'm like, I miss out on my kid for, you know, like Saturday, you know, like I'll miss out on my kid for that. But I'm like, that has to bring you that personal fulfillment and the fuel that it takes to live the rest of your life.
Right.
So don't. I personally would say don't feel bad about that, but I feel bad about it constantly.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's
we
work out.
Do.
And subconsciously, yeah. I get that. And that's why I make that sacrifice and do these things, because I know when I do have time to hang out with everybody, I'm a better man. I'm a better person. I am not going to be that guy that's going to be talking shit or hate everything all the fucking time or just be miserable.
He's at his worst when he can't do what he loves.
Yeah, I'm
when
just not.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I don't, we're built that way. We're just and built, we're
person,
built different.
I got the answer right there. You're a better person when you are doing it.
Yes.
And it all goes, you know, speaking of Jim Carrey and going back to Dumber and Dumber, he said something that I truly try to live my life by. And it's, you're going to fail at what you don't want to do.
Yeah.
So you might as well try doing what you love.
Exactly.
I love that.
Beautiful. I remember it's beautiful.
That is as truthful as it gets.
As it gets, right.
Yep. And Anthony, spot on.
Yeah,
yep.
And that's one of the things that made me realize, you know, I took that jump too, Anthony, just to try it one time. And, well, we lasted a little while. But, you know, the reality is I needed to get a fucking job again. And there I am working, you know, and then I think it was you that actually said it, you know, that feeds this. I think you told me that.
That's it.
Sounds like Anthony.
God knows how many jobs I've had.
Yeah.
To where, and God rest her soul, it was my mom, you know, because my mom, I was, you know, my mom worked two jobs with me and my sister growing up. So I come from a strong line of strong women here. That, you know, so I saw that as a kid growing up. So I knew that if this is something that I wanted to do, I had to keep feeding. And I've had numerous jobs in this life to just say, I have to do this to keep this alive. Mm-hmm. And every time I turned to my mom and I looked at her, she goes, you better get up and get to work. The early bird catches the worm.
That's right.
That was her saying, God rest your soul, every day. The early bird catches a worm. So if I slip past a certain hour, she goes, you ain't gonna make it. You ain't gonna make it. You better get up and go. So I get this job to feed this, this, until I got to a point where I felt like I don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't need it anymore. Okay, let's go, let's go. Your dream is dying every day.
Yeah, it is.
Right? It is.
No, it's dying. If you don't do it,
you have to keep it alive.
You gotta keep it alive.
Yep, you're absolutely right, man.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Every day. If it takes every
my
day.
Life tomorrow, and if it takes my life tomorrow, damn it, I did everything I could to keep it alive.
Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I think that anyone that you can hang on to or be around, and like, okay, so I took my kid to the dentist today. And the lady that was the dental hygienist for her told her, so we were talking, she was, this is kind of cool. She was telling my daughter, hey, I didn't think I was smart enough to be a dental hygienist. I didn't think I was smart enough because it took me 3 times to remember something that it took other people 1 time to remember. But she was like, but what got me here is that drive and that passion to keep going. And she's like, and some people quit because, oh, they don't understand it in 1 time or 2 times, then they quit. Mm-hmm. And she's like, but I went that 3rd time and I kept doing it and I kept trying and here I am. And I thought I was not smart enough to be a dental hygienist and here I am because I had that passion. I had that drive. So that drive and that passion is really, that hit me hard when she said that to my daughter, because I was like, I couldn't have said it better myself. I have not been, you know, that kind of mother with those kind of words, and I wish I had, but that matters. And I hope my daughter heard that, because that is so true about life in general, in any way you look at it.
Yeah,
that is true. It is the passion and the drive is what's going to get you somewhere. Not how dumb or how smart or how, you know, it's not about that. I didn't graduate from high school, but here I am making documentaries that matter, that are changing, you know, that people are watching.
Right.
It's like, I didn't graduate. I didn't.
You
I don't
can
have
say changing people's lives because some of
you know,
them are.
Yeah, maybe, you know, I hope that some of them may change people's lives someday. And I keep trying to do that because that's my passion and my drive. But I have that passion and drive. But I don't have a diploma. So, but no, it meant a lot what she said, you know, about that passion.
Smartest people in the world don't.
Yeah, they don't.
A lot of people don't. Yep. And they think they're not smart enough. Like,
and some of the smartest people say you don't need it.
Honestly, you don't. Mm-hmm. You don't. You really don't.
It's about doing the reps.
It's about having it's about that drive.
Correct.
Have that drive and have that passion.
Yeah, and being dedicated,
yes,
you know, to something. I mean, if you commit, you commit.
And if you think about it, everything that you know, like if you practice, you get better.
Absolutely.
So everything that you practice, you put your heart in it and you practice it, you're going to be amazing at it if you keep doing it and keep practicing and keep practicing.
They say 18 minutes a
day.
Passion. 18 minutes a day is all it takes.
Is that what it takes? Oh, you're down to the art.
And you're already doing it more than, I think, 95%
of the people. Yeah.
Honestly.
I've seen
so the passion.
That's what helped me learn Mandarin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That fact
that's
right there.
That's a hard language.
18 minutes. Let me set the timer.
That's hard.
Right. 19 minutes. I'm done.
I'm sorry, but you're a god to me because that is a hard language.
Right on that 19 minutes. I'm done.
I'm done.
Ni hao zai jia.
You see what I'm saying? Like, what does that mean?
I can understand
hello,
my mother-in-law.
I'm done.
Oh.
Steve.
I love it. I love it. And it's gangster. It's so gangster.
All right. So before we end, guys, Chuck.
Yeah.
So you did have a moment, and we're gonna. This is gonna be like the teaser,
the prelude.
Yeah, for the next show what? That Kiss? We do. When you left, it was hard, mm-hmm. right? Because I remember when we started this shit, and with a fucking little handheld camera, trying to make a movie with fucking kids,
bunch of kids,
and you showed up, and you were there. And you seemed as passionate about this stuff as I did from day one, from fucking day one. And I knew your background. We were friends for a minute before we started doing this. I knew you loved Fangoria magazine. I knew you loved movies. You and your dad were watching mom. You guys watched everything I've ever watched. We had how often we went to the fucking movies every Friday night for years. Yeah. We never missed that fucking Friday. So it shocked me to think that there was a comment you made. And this is going to lead into your show because I had to convince Sam about this opportunity we had to make movies and to do this show. And maybe one day we can make it to a point where this is what we do for our living. This is what we do. How blessed would we be to have that, right? I never had to convince you of that, Chuck. I had to convince Sam. She was always the one pushing back on me. Like, that's a fucking dream bullshit. You're a fucking Pisces. You're a fucking weirdo.
Reality.
You know, hello. Reality. Okay. I haven't seen it happen yet, motherfucker. You know, that kind of comment.
I get that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a realist.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, these are the comments I got, you know. And the biggest one was what Sam would always say was, well, remember, Aaron, this is your dream, not mine. And it always broke my fucking heart. Like, God damn it. No, but just like everything else, I'm stubborn and a fucking asshole. And I wouldn't take it.
Your wife sounds a lot like mine.
Okay. So I would keep pushing her. I keep pushing her. And the irony is she made the giant stick off kicks, made more money than anybody we made. How ironic. Okay, great. Good for you. Okay. But still, it's a beautiful thing because it worked. It worked, right? But I had to fight it. But when Chuck got ready, when he was leaving, we had a conversation. He said, Aaron, this is your dream, not mine. And you kicked my ass with that comment, Chuck. And that's what I keep holding on to. You used something that Sam used against me, who didn't believe.
But I didn't know
you believe from day one.
Regularly.
Oh, she said it on this podcast. I can pull up 50 podcasts she said
that. I will say this in front of everybody and to you, Aaron. I will say this to you for sure. This dream that you have is bigger for you than it is for me. And I don't doubt that. Because of everything that you'll do to sacrifice to make to chase this part of the dream. Now, with everything that I have and everything in my lifestyle and everything that I've done in my life, if I ever get an opportunity to become a full-time producer for movies, I will be probably one of the best fucking producers on the planet because I can build 100 houses at one fucking time. However, I do stick to the fact that I did say this is more of a dream for you than it is for me, because if I became a mute tomorrow, and I couldn't fucking talk, and I couldn't do it and express everything, but I could still work and do what I've known the whole time, I could still find happiness in my life. I truly believe that happiness in your life is chasing this to the very, very end. And I am here to support you and to help you chase that. And yes, I want to see us grow. I want to see us build. The best thing I could say is, like, when we first came up with an idea of what it looks like to be a successful company, the first year that we could make 50 grand, Sam could quit her job and then we could go from there. Once we got to 125 grand, Aaron's done. He can quit his job and we can go from there. Once we get to 250,000, that's it. We're all working full time. The company's making money. We're making money. We're all getting through everything.
Okay.
But the whole aspect is always me last, because I don't mind doing the day job. I don't mind going through everything as long as we're building something. And now we're building something off of Sam's back. But we're building something off of what we're doing. And we're all doing it together. And now, is it part of my dream? Yeah, obviously. Look at the passion that goes into everything I do. And even when I pulled out, which I should have done more often in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. I had to throw something in there. Anyway, sorry.
You sure did.
All right. So,
Sophia matters. Sophia lives matter.
It's a skill. It's a skill. I tell you that.
It is a skill.
Even though I pulled out and I was like, this isn't exactly what I want, I was still here for a reason.
Yeah. And I get that.
I pulled back from everything that we were doing. And Aaron's like, I wrote you a scene. Sorry.
Yeah.
Too damn bad. Yeah. Sorry you're in.
Right. So,
well, just so
even though I...
Oh, go ahead. Finish, please.
Oh, I was just saying. So even though I pulled out, I didn't want to fully leave. I knew I didn't want to fully leave. I you know, I lost my wife. I lost my... Not to death, but I lost my marriage. I lost my son. And I was running away from life for about 5 months. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That story alone is inspirational. The fact that you're on the show and it really deserves a whole show in itself.
It does.
That's what we are going to plan.
It really wasn't. It's not an easy thing, I think, still, with what you've gone through. But... it's pretty inspiring to know that you're still here and that you're still pushing through it.
He came back because Anthony, he loves us.
It's
like an Alabama tick. You just can't get the whole fucking thing out. It keeps gnawing at you for a little while.
Yeah, we're like ticks. We just, latch on.
So that was an Aaron reference, for Predator.
For Predator.
For the hunt.
I totally missed it. I was like, I'm like a chick.
No, and here's the thing that's funny too. Lately, I've been thinking about that check before we should write in the show. But it's just the definition you have for me, it was true. It's not anymore. Like I'm finding more and more happiness in just everything I do. I find it easier. And then I was listening to Rogan last night, and they said the same thing. When him and The Rock were talking, and I was like, wow, that's kind of where I've started to go into, where, if you can enjoy everything you do, you're going to be in a better place as a person, even if I have to go to a place I don't want to go to, if I can find a way to enjoy that while I'm there, it's going to make everything else better. I'm not going to get sour and bitter and angry and, poor me, and then get selfish about my choices I made in my life and where I'm not at 50, that stuff matters. If you can come to terms with it and just be okay. And I'm kind of okay, and I couldn't say that 2 years ago or 5 years ago, especially 17 or 15 years ago. I couldn't say that at all. I wasn't okay, but I feel okay now, I feel okay. And that's
okay. Now I'm going to stop you for 1 second. Sam,
what
does he seem okay?
He does. He does. He's definitely better than he was ever.
I'm not perfect.
He's not. Oh.
Well, God.
Okay,
no.
Well, that's a whole other story. He is far from perfect.
I ain't perfect.
He's far from perfect.
You're always going to have something lingering. There's dingleberries hanging from all of us. From
he's
whatever.
Got a lot of dingleberries, but. But no, he's good, though, in his acceptance of what life is and how it's going to be. And stuff like that. And that was the whole point of this podcast, was to point out the fact that just being, settling is not always bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to settle to be okay.
I feel like I dumb myself down, but it's fine.
But we don't use dumb down anymore because we decided that wasn't a good way to put it.
It's just a good way to wrap
up the
show.
But you made it through it. Settling is hard.
Adapting to life and adapting to what you can do and what you can't do. It's something.
Identifying your limits and knowing your lane and what you're good at and what you're not good at, I think is vital for everybody. I'm first one to admit there's things I can't do. I can't do that.
Dreams
I can't.
Are big.
I say that to Sam. I'm like, I don't know how you talk to these people like you do. There's certain people she can talk to. She can talk to anybody and be fine with them.
But we're
and
different.
I know they're full of shit.
We're
and she's still nice. And I'm like, how do you fucking do that? How do you do that? That is so amazing. It's a superpower.
And that's a great trait to
have. Yeah, Chuck has it too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why CCC Entertainment is so good, because it's very truthful.
But if it was just you wearing
him,
we'd be fucked.
We'd be fucked. On that part.
Right. Right.
Uh-oh. Anyway, Anthony froze.
Oh, no.
Did we lose Anthony in the middle of a point?
Yeah,
he was in the middle of a point
right
obvious.
There. Right.
He's like,
that's a good time, though, because we need to actually end this.
We should probably cut it. Yeah,
I did want to hear what the rest of Anthony had to say, but
so
he got frozen.
Especially since he was talking about all the wonderful things of season here.
Right.
Right?
Right. All right. Well, thank you, guys.
I'm just waiting to see if he comes back.
Let's see. Let's
I know,
give him
I'm
a minute.
I'm
kind of
waiting, too. But I have to pee, so I can't wait.
Okay, you go.
Okay, well, you have the baby bladders, so you got
to... In the meantime, let's listen to DJ Aaron over on KZOK Rock. Yeah, KZOK Rock.
If she doesn't come back, love you, Samantha.
Oh shit, we totally lost Anthony.
Yeah.
Bummer.
All right, that's okay.
I love him, too.
Yes. Steve, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
No, I don't.
Anytime.
I think it's important for people to see, like, you know, a team talking like they would talk.
Yeah,
and this is what we do. Oh, he's coming back. There he is, coming back. He's coming back.
Oh, nice.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. I'll put the music in. I'll shut up so we have music playing.
He will be playing.
There he is. He's back. Now we can end the show properly.
I was looking. I was like, where's our. What happened here? Is my internet connection down? I was like, what plug came undone?
You were making a good point, too.
The last thing we said was the great thing about Sam CCC Entertainment Group, and then. This is all we saw.
Yep, you were right here, dude. You were right here. It's great. It's great. Yeah, and you know us. We won't edit that shit out. It'll be beautiful. I love it. It's great. It's great.
All the way till you come back right now. So, I'm sorry.
Where it all ended.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sam had to go pee. She'll be right back.
Please continue. Have Steve do a really nice graphic with a circle. Next phase. Absolutely. Episode 2. Don't miss it.
So good. Anyway, we're about to end the show. Sam's back. I know I appreciate you guys more than you probably know. So, thank you very, very much for all the effort, believing in our shit, getting our back, and just being our friends. It's an honor knowing you guys. Seriously.
For real.
We're a film family.
We are a film family.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Chuck, you want to close the show out?
Since you're back.
Bitch, I've been here.
Oh, okay.
It's not like I just came back yesterday. I've been here for a minute. Wait, hang on. Minute and a half. So, now that I've been back, let me just take a moment to say thank you, everybody, for joining us down around the reel. Thank you for joining us for a fucking hard drink, which I have no idea where my glass went. Thank you for a little nip and a long conversation with a whole bunch of our wonderful friends here from CCC Entertainment.
Family.
From our beautiful composer at the Espina to our wonderful writer and...
Speaking of hard drinks, my wife's anniversary gift was Crystal Head Vodka.
That's nice.
Which is owned by who?
Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Oh, good job. Yeah, I didn't know that. Aykroyd. Wow. Okay. Wow.
Does he come over and pour your drinks for you? If he does, I'll be there.
I got to work. He narrated a short film that I did a while back.
No shit.
Dope.
Nice.
Got to work on a film with him.
That's badass, dude. I love it.
That's awesome.
Gangster.
I love it. Anyway, sorry, Chuck. Go ahead.
So from Anthony Espina, our wonderful, beautiful composer, from Steve Eaton, one of our wonderful writers, part-time directors, and also graphics artist, to Aaron Carlson, the wonderful guy who keeps everything running, gunning, and flowing through, and cares more about sharing what we're doing with the people who are out here doing it with us, as opposed to all of you out there who are eventually going to see it. And of course, Sam, the only person in this whole entire group. Well, excuse me, Anthony, I apologize. Excuse me one moment. And Steve, yes, you have a wonderful place you do. But everything from CC Entertainment Group, the only person who makes us fucking money.
Thank you, Sam,
for everything you do. Stop second-guessing yourself, woman. You're irritating the fuck out of me. I just want you to know that. I love you to death. Stop second-guessing yourself. You're good at what you do. Suck it up and own it.
Okay.
Everybody out there, remember, I'm going to say one thing really quick. Yeah, I'm back. Fuck whatever. Everybody said film family a minute ago. I had a birthday a little while ago. I love my family that I actually have. My family dynamic has been changing ultimately over the last year and a half, and it's been hard. So yes, bitches, I'm back. This is me, and this is my family. This is CCC Entertainment Group. Thank you for joining us on Around the Reel. And remember, think hard, because you're thinking anyway.
We'll see everybody later.
Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.
Love you guys.
Take care, guys.
For those of you that want to be a guest on Around the Reel, please email Sam at aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
Not Messenger. Do not message Aaron on Messenger, because then he has to send you a message that says email Sam at aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
How come they can't just message me again?
Because nobody wants to fucking talk to you.
Can anybody reach out that's an artist, filmmaker, actor?
If you're an artist of any kind, we want to hear from you.
But we are going to vet the crap out of you.
We don't care if you make millions of dollars in Hollywood or if you're just beginning your career in the art industry. We don't care. So everybody that wants to be on Around the Reel, yes, we want you.
That's AroundTheReel253@gmail.com.
This week's episode is brought to you by Entrepreneur Swag Shop. As business owners, it's important that we create the right environment and surround ourselves with the right people and the right things to keep you focused and motivated.
Entrepreneur Swag Shop offers clothing and accessories designed to empower entrepreneurs to share their message, their beliefs, and their journey with the world. Through inspiration and identity, the powerful messages printed on the items will help align you with who you want to be and what you want to achieve.
Whether you are new or experienced, male or female, young or old, you'll absolutely find a message that resonates with you. Visit EntrepreneurSwagShop.com and use code AROUNDTHEREAL during checkout to get 10% off your order today.
Get that swag, people.